I thought it was still pretty accurate of like a claustrophobic, like you got to know where you're going. Yes. And like,
yes, I felt like I was in the Navy. Pardon me, over here.
And I mean, this place in general is just, God damn it. I'm so, mea culpa.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 34 of the History by the Glass podcast. It's your tour of Portland, Oregon's famously historic, infamously endangered bars, pubs, and saloons tonight. Make sure the elevator's working because we're loading up on shellfish, cheesecake, and cocktails at Dan and Louie's Oyster Bar. I'm your host. I'm your co-host. So sorry, Bill.
Fuck you.
I missed that co. I'm your co-host, Nathan B. Gale. With me, as always, directly and right, is a man who knows a good shuck, if I might say so myself. It's my good pal, my better drinking buddy, the Clavin to my Peterson, the Louie to my Dan, Alfredo Moreno. How the hell are you doing, buddy?
You're damn right I know how to shuck an oyster. I'm doing great. Thank you very much, Nate. Let's cheers with our mystery drink tonight.
Oh, why not?
Steady as she
please,
goes.
Please, yes. So they're very full.
Oh, ow! Ooh, let's take a sip.
Okay.
What is this? What is this? Unique drink. Well, first
Colombian
of a kind.
Concoction, yes.
We've never had this before in History of the Glass. Wow. Nate, what are you drinking?
Did you guess it? Something from the Arabica region, I believe. Is this... Is this Taster's Choice having tonight?
I think that might be 7-Eleven's finest. Mm. You're drinking an almost black coffee. Did you sneak anything into that,
though? No, well, there could be a Canadian club this coffee had to get through to be enjoyed. But I am drinking it in your house mug, and I'm reading it, I think, correctly. It says, I am Knuff.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's right. The hit movie Barbie, folks. Sure. It's one of our many whimsical mugs here at the Moreno household. And I'm drinking a black coffee, a little hazelnut creamer from a Fat City Cafe from Multnomah Village. Fat City Cafe, we love it. Just as a quick teaser, why in God's name are we drinking coffee?
Well, because the sun's still up there, pal. And we had a lunch to end all lunches, as that's where we're coming from.
Oh, my God.
So what we wanted to simulate was a nice, boozy...
nice businessman's lunch.
Yes, a Draperian lunch, and I think that we did just that. But yeah, we said, what are we going to have to drink tonight? Well, we've already
re-recorded one episode.
Yeah, we can't do another.
We don't want to do the Driftwood Room again and again. Yeah, uh-huh. So we're drinking coffee because it's 4:18 p.m. here in the HBTG studios in South Beaverton. And we've been at it for a little bit down in Old Town Portland. And coffee, 7-Eleven's finest coffee is our flavor of choice.
But don't keep that from you drinking, listener, whatever you're doing on the treadmill, in the car,
be drinking something stiffer than that.
Imbibement you want. Okay, well, we don't have much time here, Alfredo, so let's get into it. Before we do, though, we do have a little bit of a chat to have with our fellow audience.
We might have been a little cheeky.
So if you're coming, if you found us because of our recent episode, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not the podcast that you're on route to. The 1st of April, we had a little bit of fun, didn't we, pal?
We did. We had some fun. It was April 1st, otherwise known as April Fool's Day. Boy. And we thought we'd participate for the first time ever.
And you know us, we thought, what would be fun to do? And this is a historic bar podcast. We say a benchmark of 40 years or so open before we even walk in your doors. We said, wouldn't it be fun to go to the newest bar we could find in town? And that's what we did. And hopefully you enjoyed that episode. The Too Soon. Thanks for everybody at the Too Soon for playing along, whether you knew it or not.
Yeah, this was an interesting look. Honestly, we set out to, of course, flip thing, do a bizarro HBTG episode. Obviously, of course, everyone listening has listened to the episode, and you know that we switched roles and we went to the newest bar in town, Too Soon, which couldn't have had a better, more perfect name. Thank you, Too Soon, for obliging us
perfectly.
We just thought, but it was a fine line to walk, right?
We
went into it and we said, oh, wouldn't it, you know, there was some temptation to be the old surly HBTG guys and shit all over a new bar. That's not our MO at all.
A lot of hand wringing about, are we parodying ourselves? Are we parodying the bar? What are we actually, what's the aim of this, you know, obviously a bizarro episode that we're doing? And I think we both came at it at separate angles. I think we both swung at different targets, but ultimately, I think it was very funny and a good. I want to tell you what's funny. It was,
it's funny.
Let me tell you, you had a good time listening to it.
That's right.
You loved it. I enjoyed the episode, but I got to level with you, Alfredo. Yeah. I want to be perfectly vulnerable.
Yeah,
you know me and my vulnerability.
Oh, famous.
I had fun at the bar.
The bar was amazing.
I really enjoyed it.
God damn, we are the easiest marks in this city.
Who are we to say, oh, why don't we flip this thing over and go to a bar?
We're going
to
love your bar. Like, are you going to give a shit about us? Are you going to treat us with respect? Are you going to make drinks and just be friendly and wonderful?
Yeah.
We're going to love your bar. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad we went into it with the mindset of, why don't we parody ourselves and flip ourselves?
Yeah. Let's pretend this is what we've always done, is go into these new bars, you know.
Let's flip our own
but with appreciation and not like a mockery.
Yeah, we weren't.
Kind.
Yeah. To mock a new bar, no. To mock our own dogma.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I hope we did that to a little bit.
Kill a mocking bar. Absolutely.
We fucking love this bar. Mm-hmm. And what was the crossover of...
this was the thing. I came away from it saying like, well, I really like that. And so maybe I just like bars. Maybe that's my takeaway for myself is that if you are into it as a bar owner and a bartender and a person to have people in and then drinking and eating, I think, I dig it, man.
Right. It's not that hard as I think what we realized is we went in there and we went, God, this is so not the place you and I would ever just decide to go across the river for.
Ever.
And go sit in like a brand new eight week old place. Mm-hmm. Super cool, super... nothing. There's no old guy there. It's nothing about it. Come on, old middle-aged guys, come here first.
Right.
But we went, and it was just we just want to be treated right, man. And it was, and this too soon was phenomenal.
It was great. If you haven't listened to the episode, if you said, I don't know what this is, I'm going to skip this one. Fine. Rightfully so. That's great. Hey, what a great listener you are. And that you've been trained to look for old bars on the.
Sure.
On this, but if you haven't given it a listen, please do. We really enjoyed it. If you're coming there from that episode, we're very, very sorry. This is unfortunately... an older bar podcast.
Yeah, we're going to go back to what we do. Lest you think we like any bar with a classic mode of operation.
Uh-huh.
That is just conviviality, an openness for any sort of amicable drinker who stumbles through your door. Be open, be willing to be a part of it. And we love you. We love you, old and new bars.
Yes, absolutely. And to show you how much, we're going to move from an 8-week-old bar to a 110-year-old bar here right after this. Alfredo, there aren't many 100-year-old restaurants in this town. Well, we've got one locked and loaded tonight, which is actually this afternoon, now that I look at the watch. Lucky for us, it's got a bar with some stools in front of it. It's got some liquor behind that bar and oysters on the menu. Oysters, Alfredo! What Bourdain called vaguely sexual-looking things tasting of brine, flesh, and the future. Now, you might be able to tell, everybody, we're a little more meal-focused on this episode, so... before we get into if this is a saloon with a seafood restaurant built around it, or an oyster shack with a bar hanging off its ass, please tell us a little-known fact, Alfredo, about Dan and Louie's Oyster Bar restaurant.
Oh, chef's kiss to the intro, Nate. Okay, here we go. History. This is established in 1907 by Louis C. Waksmuth. Back to you, Nate.
Okay, well, I tell you what.
No.
Now, wasn't he canceled for his comedy? Some sort of like funny.
That's a different.
Louis C.
Louis C. K. I don't know what his last name is.
Kmuth.
No, there's a little more to the story, Nate, than established in 1907 by Louis C. Waksmuth.
Unload on me.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
Okay, let's talk about Louis. Louis grows up working with his father, Meinert, and his brothers on the family oyster farm in, guess that town, Nate.
Oh, the oyster farm, Little Neck, Long Island.
No, Oysterville, Washington.
Of course.
High school mascot.
The oyster?
The fighting oysters, okay. Of course. No, there's no, sadly, there's no Oysterville, Washington High School. It's another high school. Their mascot is the fisherman.
They had to bus over to
the, at it. Yeah, they have to bus down Long Island, Washington.
Oh, my gosh.
To become the fisherman. The fighting oysters is a much better idea when you live in Oysterville. That's a great. God darn, we got to get hired as the athletic directors up there. All right.
Anyway,
so Louis's growing up here in Oysterville with a father Meinert. He learns to shuck an oyster by the age of five, the same as you and I were learning how to smash PB&J together between two slices of bread.
I don't think I could tie my shoes at five. Oh, that's amazing.
He's shucking oysters. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Why oysters?
Please.
Well, why old bars, Nate? Because of our fathers. Oh. Our fathers is the answer.
Oh, okay.
That's why old bars, and that's why oysters for Louis Waksmuth. I got it.
Yes. See Waksmuth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to divert just a skosh.
You're going to what?
Stay with me. Okay. I'm going to divert just a minute. Diverge or divert.
You are drawing something with your hand for the live audience here.
Okay, so Meinert. Let's talk about Meinert, father of Louis, founder of the Dan and Louis Oyster Bar.
Are you saying Meinert? Is that the name you're saying?
Yeah, Meinert. Well, don't you know, he was born on the Isle of Sylt. Right between Denmark and Germany in 1842.
Brine in his lungs, man. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, at age 14, he stows away on a ship and was basically at sea for the next 10 years. Sails around the Horn seven times.
Before Herman Melville.
It's like master and commander, this guy. Uh-huh. He's the kid who gets his arm cut off. You haven't seen it.
Call me Meinert.
Yeah. He settles into the trade route between San Francisco, which, of course, you all know is the biggest city on the West Coast at that time. Don't you know?
We all knew that.
We all know.
That's an easy trivia.
He's on that trade route between San Francisco and the oyster-rich bays of Oregon and Washington, Oysterville, Washington.
Uh-huh.
Here's this guy ends up shipwrecked in Yakina Bay, Oregon, right there by Newport, in 1865. So there he is. He's got no choice. He's got to get off the boat. Because he didn't die in the water.
What are you going to do?
He gets onto land, wobbles his legs.
Would he have rather die, do you think?
No, because he makes his way to Oysterville.
All right.
He heads north where he marries, has a family, including a son, Louis, and he heads down to San Francisco once the boys and the girls have all gotten the oyster thing down.
Correct.
Head down to San Francisco to slang them oysters.
Wow.
You might be asking yourself now, Alfredo, does this have anything to do with Portland at all?
I was going to say, you know what I know about San Francisco? There's a great coffee bar down there. Does it have anything to do with the coffee bar down there?
No, it's not the Buena Vista at all. It's this is about oysters.
I'm out of references then.
So Meinert, he hangs it up and he heads to the golf course in 1903, as one would do.
Not the golf course.
The golf course.
All right.
He's out there.
Okay.
And like so many typical California transplants, Louis and his brothers head north to Portland. They buy up all the real estate, gentrify the neighborhoods.
Volvo City, baby.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the kind of stuff we've been railing against for decades.
So why are we here?
He's a blue collar guy, this guy. Louis, he comes up. He's working as a delivery man. He's a cook.
Bluey collar.
And wouldn't you know it? An oyster shucker.
Oh, wow.
He's an oyster shucker. And eventually he makes his way and he opens a sidewalk seafood market of his own called Oregon Oyster. And that's opened in 1907. And that's the date we credit to Dan and Louis Oyster Bar, 1907.
Right, this is where the oysters are happening.
That's right
here, 1907.
The business opens.
On Ankeny, whatever it was called then at that point in time.
That's
what's
right.
Happening.
So he brings all that good stuff in, the fresh, good seafood by train from the Oregon coast. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's kind of like a butcher who sells like deli sandwiches out of the side or something
that. Right on the old.
He's selling fish. He's not, gotcha. He's not a restaurant, but he's going to make you a little something if you're there.
Yeah.
And he's serving raw oysters.
Oh.
And he serves them with ketchup, a little ketchup on there. Thank God they don't do them today.
Was that off the time or the cocktail?
That's what they just said. Ketchup was the way he did it. Ketchup.
I didn't even put ketchup on my hot dogs.
I know. It's blasphemy. And an oyster stew. Mm. An oyster stew back then when it's just the fishmonger to the folks just milling around the seafood market. Like it's not rotten, it's fresh, but whoever's slopping around in the mud there in Ankeny and, you know, hey, try this. And
you'll love it.
By God, people do. Uh-huh. And they keep asking for it and asking for it. And by 1919, he's ready to open up an actual restaurant to pair with the fish market. He buys up a little food stall nearby and Louis's Oyster Bar is born.
Oh, man.
The place expands several times, including a sailing ship interior design in 1937, and things are going great.
At this very location?
The interior
we saw today? Okay,
yeah, great. It's been kind of Rubik's cubed a few times, but...
It was a theme bar back then, would you say?
Yeah, honestly, I think about, at that time, 1919, you know, even in 1907, so in 1907, you've already got... Louis Huber's who's selling up those, you know, turkey sandwiches. You got,
Wait a minute. Have we made this Louis connection before?
Louis is a great name turn of the century.
Oh my God. You couldn't do anything. If your name was
Jake,
Louis.
You got Jake serving up the crawfish and
Jake, Dan, Louis, and Louis.
You walk about four blocks.
Yes.
And you're bumping into any kind of specialty sandwich.
Right there. It's downtown. It's all happening downtown.
It's happening.
Okay.
So at 1919, Huber's and Jake's are about almost a decade into their current locations.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But they're young in their current spots. They were just kind of shacks. Anyway, he's there. So you might say, wait a minute, what about Dan?
Yeah, I thought you said Dan.
There's
but
a Dan.
Then I said Dan when I introduced this place.
You did. I'm afraid that's a sad story, my friend. I'm afraid.
Wait a minute.
I wouldn't
have said Dan if I had known it was a sad story.
Sorry, we're going to have to go there real quick.
Okay, tell me about Dan.
I'm going to tell you. So Louis and his wife Elizabeth had five children.
Oh, no.
And their second oldest, Dan, who was then 27 years old.
Oh, God.
And he was going to be a big part of the succession plan of the business.
Big shot.
Well, pretty bad strain of the influenza, hits
that
the family.
That very influenza that
it's
we...
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. Influenza, as you know, back in the day,
So they didn't vaccinate Dan.
You got to be serious about that influenza.
All right.
It hits the family, and Dan, they thought he was close to recovery. They thought everyone was going to recover from it. Dan suddenly goes the wrong way, and he dies. Dies of influenza complications in February of 1938.
Like a bad clam.
1938. Not the timing. No. They've been open for about 20 years. So Dan dies, but he was going to be the guy. He was going to be one of the guys who leads the bar
Dan's
to the next
Oyster Bar.
So in his honor, they add his name to Louis's Oyster Bar and becomes Dan and Louis's Oyster Bar as a memorial. So, So great. I mean, I couldn't think of a better way to do it.
Sure. And you know, people ask for Dan, you've got a story to tell.
It's a great story. Honorable story. Thank goodness his older brother, Louis Arthur, and a younger brother, Chester, keep things going.
Chester A. Arthur?
Separate names.
Oh, so sorry.
Louis Arthur and Chester, separate.
Thank you.
In between is Dan, who passes away.
Thank you.
They keep things going. Even after Louis, son of Meinert, the original Louis, heads to the great oyster stall in the sky in 1957.
So many bad oysters down there. I wish there was a family tree somewhere that we could actually reference there, pal.
Well, it exists. I'm going to say this. This is the best articulation of history of a restaurant, bar, restaurant, bar, restaurant that we have seen in this entire project. It is phenomenal. It's on the website. It's well written. It's in a narrative. You want to read it like it's not just bullet points.
Right.
And inside the place, we'll talk about this. It's a museum to everything about the family.
So you bring up a good point. I don't know if you got more history. You bring up a good point. What you've talked about so far is restaurant, 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 restaurant. When, pray tell, do I get to imbibe at Dan and Louie's Oyster Bar Restaurant?
Well, we did that today.
Sure. But is there a point in time when we get to it?
I will say, I don't have any evidence of any big drinking stories over the years that this restaurant has been in the family the entire time. Five generations of Walksmooth family have worked at this restaurant since Louie founded it. Four generations of ownership. It's incredible. They just keep passing it down through the generations. I took a cursory look and I could not find any big evidence of a big beer swinging cocktail stew.
It's actually, I'd hate to, I feel terrible bringing this up here. It's actually emblazoned over the door in front of the bar there.
Oh, what does it say?
August 22nd, 1991.
That's true. That's when the addition.
That's when they started serving liquor and beer in that place.
Is that when they started serving liquor and beer? You asked?
According to Holly Tonight, yes.
Look at this. This is live.
This is live. This is us looking into each other's eyes.
We did not discuss this before, which would have been helpful.
It would have been helpful at all. But we just say we don't just talk about the place.
I just thought the bar was added on in 91.
Yes, important. That was the room was always there, but it was when they started serving, and that's when it
really
turned into a quote-unquote bar, that room. What? Yes.
Well, and you know our rule on History by the Glass. If you're established, we just assume some cook was pouring something out of a flask, which makes you a bar, which most of our bar partners and friends claim is their founding date.
But exactly.
the first time a cook poured a drink into someone's cup, we're a bar.
And of course, it must have happened in 19-something or other. But yes, when they officially had a thing that went this way, as I'm making a bar tab.
Tappy, gluggy.
That's what Holly said.
Okay, I thought it was fascinating that as we sat in the bar, the Mermaid Lounge, and it did say August
22nd, 1991.
Coming up on the anniversary, August 22nd, 1991, which even if that were the first day of this single independent bar called Mermaid Lounge in Old Town, we would have it on our radar
100%.
As a History with a Glass bar.
100% we would. that's fantastic. I think that is there anything else that we should add onto the history?
No, it's a fantastic, historic restaurant and a really good old dish bar. We're going to tell you everything about our experience. The history is wonderful. Just go and keep listening.
All right, Alfredo, there's obviously a lot of history down here at Dan and Louie's Oyster Bar Restaurant. I say restaurant because that's noted on the menu as Dan and Louie's.
Is it bar first or restaurant?
Oyster Bar. Restaurant.
Oh, Oyster Bar.
Yes, you got
and
it.
Restaurant.
It's just a weird. Anyway, have you? I digress. Have you ever been to Dan and Louie's Oyster Bar and Restaurant, or just Dan and Louie's?
Never in my goddamn life. Never in my life. What a
bless you. I've been here 40 however years, whenever you're listening to this, and I have always heard about Dan and Louie's. I'd never been.
Wow, remarkable. We can still be surprised.
We can still be surprised. Why? This is a surprise. Well, I'm not really sure. But let's just get that out of the way. Tell me a little bit about. You talked about this being in Ankeny, right?
And we
are certainly familiar with the Ankeny Alley.
Tell
me a little bit about the building, the area, a little bit more.
Yeah, it's right there in that.
Do you have somewhere to be?
No, I don't. I'm just keeping an eye on the world.
I'm so sorry.
This is right there by Voodoo Donut. Yeah. I think it's the old
Keep Portland Weird sign.
Down in the nitty gritty. When I first started visiting here on vacation in the late 2000s, pre 2010, I'd come down here right for donuts and to go to Barbati's and weird places like that, Dante's, and it's right down there. It's right where the grimy Portland has always been, and it's great. Great grimy Portland. But you get a historic sense. We wanted to kind of walk around a little bit. This is the middle of the afternoon for us when we were recording and visiting. But you get that's it's claustrophobic and it's old and there's no cobblestones, but there could be, you know,
there certainly and is you can, somewhere in there.
You can visualize the old seafood stalls and the old time, you know, businesses there. Right. I mean, that's just
cockles, feels, clams and mussels.
It feels great. 100%. It's nothing about it feels new.
No, but which is funny because there are so many bars around there. And when I have been down in the Ankeny area, it's to go to a bar as a nubile, you know, a guy,
old towns where young people wet.
And
old people don't go to old town.
I had no idea that Dan and Louie's Oyster Bar was there at the end of Ankeny. I associated with Southwest. I thought maybe like somewhere in Oak Street, something like, you know, there's a courthouse,
a little further up.
Something that was just in downtown. I never associated with a strip that I think of as a great, sexy, dangerous night.
It's building
out
is more old school than like Huber's or Jake's.
It is because it's ultimately closer to the river than anything else. And this has got to be the closest to the river. Yamhill and this has got to be the closest to the river.
Yeah. Great physical space. You feel feel the antiquity as you walk closer and you're in it and the long alleyway and
brass and oak door and it's got a weird step that shouldn't be there and stuff.
Portland's
like that.
Finest urbanites are going to come down the alley. It could be any time. It's great. That's what you're there for.
Yes.
This is not a protected environment. This is
it is the wall of the establishment and then the city. And then you are very much aware of the city being right there. Yes. And it is absolutely a part of the city. We'll talk more about what we found inside, but as we bellied up inside of Dan and Louie's.
Yeah. Oh, you walk in. Let me just say, you walk in, and they do a great job. This place started as a seafood stall.
Oh, yeah.
And it's they got the oysters in the front window. This is not
right there.
Yeah, you're not walking into a white tablecloth, right? There's an oyster stall.
Well, they got two kitchens. Yeah, they got a kitchen all the way in the back, and then they got the actual oyster place.
But it feels like you're walking into that market. They do a great job of preserving that.
For the window, too, like you're the oysters for the day.
It's exactly like, I mean, not exactly, it's not on the street like in, you know, Chinatown, San Francisco or something like it would be here in Portland, the turn of the century, but it's great. You can see it. You come in, there's two doors. You don't know which one to push. And then you walk in and you don't know which way to go, but there's this bar immediately to the right, the Mermaid Lounge.
Yeah. Underneath the sign saying Mermaid Lounge. Now this bar, we discovered it was about six seats or so, right?
Yeah, six seats. Thing? Intimate. I love it.
Very tight. This is not a party of seven. I'm so sorry. You're out of luck. Somebody's got to stand at this bar. What did we have to drink tonight?
Perfect. Thank you for asking.
This morning.
The more we dug into this, and we got into a, you know, I knew there was maybe a bar somewhere in Dan and Louie.
So
I wasn't sure.
Full disclosure.
I wasn't sure what. I knew it was mostly a restaurant. It's not known as a, we're going to Dan and Louie. We're going to go drink all night.
Full disclosure, Alfredo and I agree on about 99% of this podcast all the time. One thing we say is if a restaurant has a bar in it, it's not a bar. It's a restaurant with a little bar. It may not be. And so we really went back and forth about what to do with this very, very old restaurant.
Around a couple seasons.
And we thought this would be a good time to go check it out. And that's why the intro was the way it was, is that we question, you know, what is a bar?
I did not want to go to Dan and Louie. I thought Dan and Louie was a restaurant that happened to have a few drinks.
Correct.
Kind of right. But the fact that they've been serving drinks in a dedicated space
This is the sound of Alfredo patting himself.
33 years. You know, we went to Stanich's in season one, right?
Yeah.
Because Paul Pintrich went there in History of the Glass, the books.
Canonical. We had
Stanich's is a restaurant that happens to serve beer.
We absolutely agreed on that.
Yes. You never go to Stanich's to drink and no thanks on the food. I'm good. Correct. And you would probably never go to Dan and Louie and just say, no thanks in the oysters. I'm just here to drink.
But the glutton and me absolutely couldn't. As soon as we sat down, I wanted to.
Me
and that's
neither.
A great segue into, and I usually don't call out our great segues. Oh no, we didn't talk about our first drink. So
we got building up to that.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
It's a very slow build.
Thank you. Oh,
and see, the more
simmer. When I'm a boil.
Oh, he's a rolling
Alfredo's
boil.
A simmer, and I'm a big boil.
Well, the more I try to talk myself into this cockamamie scheme to go here, I look to the good TV book of Mad Men. Mad Men, and there's an episode, season one, episode 7, called Red in the Face, and there's a memorable scene where Roger Sterling, the silver-haired man of Sterling Draper, his name's on the door.
Right.
He's asserting his power over one Don Draper, a very smooth, mysterious man,
attractive director. Yes.
And they decide they're going to go, and Roger leads them to a real matinee businessman's lunch, in which they go somewhere and order round after round of oysters and martinis. Mm-hmm. Followed by a very memorable cheesecake, and Don, being the great manipulator that he is, rides along with Roger, pays off an elevator operator, gets them to walk 23 flights of stairs, where Roger then vomits in front of the clients. Don wins. Check went up on the big board for Don. We love that scene. We've talked about it for years.
We've talked about it for 100 years, as soon as it aired. Yes, absolutely.
The more we looked at
we didn't even know each other when it aired, and we talked about it then.
No, yes, we said this is just like that scene, and where Don and Roger, they have the dozen oysters. So I am not a martini guy. I want to say this is probably the second martini I've ever had in my life.
What, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And just like the episode, I said, Nate, you're leading this dance. And he ordered a Kettle One martini with olive. And I said, two, please. And there we went. And I think it's the second martini I've ever had.
Wow.
The first sip to me tastes like, I said, just rub it on my arm and give me an injection. This is antiseptic.
It's medicinal, yeah.
But boy, howdy, by that second one, I went, pretty damn good.
You could probably
I like this
have a
martini.
Few more, right? Yes, exactly. Well, it's certainly,
and that's what we had. Martinis.
A dry Kettle One martini with olive is my order anywhere I go. And
I'm
so excited to see Kettle One.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Thank you very much for riding the train.
Oh, yeah,
let me dry, but that's absolutely what we had. I have not had two martinis in my life. I've had maybe 10,000. I don't know how many I've had.
My wife's had that many as well.
Friday at Stockpot, I probably had 9,000. So, you know, thank you very much.
Oh, man, it's opened up a new world to me. I can be that guy now.
Yes, you can. You're right there. You're at the forefront. And it primed you for a world of culinary masterpieces.
Yeah, interesting there. Food. Did you see anything interesting on the menu?
Jesus, every fucking thing I saw on the menu. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. I this is a menu I would eat my way through. I am.
We had to stop. We had to say, we got to go. We can't order the fifth thing.
Just get me the next thing.
Yeah. We had oysters though, didn't we?
Yeah, we absolutely had oysters. We had a dozen each. Which our great, great bartender, Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley.
Was a little uncertain if we wanted one dozen or two dozen, and we said, no, put your search aside there. We're going a dozen each.
This is
each.
A lunch of excess. Yeah.
Absolutely, and that's what we did.
Oysters. Nate, how do you take them usually? What's your, when you've got a nice raw oyster on the half shell there, what's your game plan?
Well, I always assume I'm going to have multiple, right?
Ah, okay.
And so I like to have some just raw, just like as they come out of the shell. Uh-huh. And then I like to have some with as much spice as possible.
Okay.
So I do some just as they were born out in the sea.
Okay.
And then I try to add as much Tabasco. Okay. I'm a Tabasco man when it comes to oysters. Uh-huh. Tabasco, lemon. And if they serve it with horseradish, which they did, I like to
now, are you, put that on top. Are you alternating or just whatever fires into your head, you're going
to
do it?
No, I'm sort of a Crash Bandicoot when it comes to just give me oysters. There will be more later. I don't give a shit. Yeah, I don't give it. Yeah, just.
I was watching you.
Garbage disposal.
I was on oyster number 6 when Nate spun his plate around with disdain and went, I could probably do another dozen. It was fantastic. I love the horseradish and lemon, a little vinaigrette.
Yeah.
And then I also like to, probably about every third, I like to get just a nice raw from the sea. Maybe a little cocktail sauce as God intended. Not as God intended, cocktail sauce. The cocktail sauce then raw as God intended.
Gotcha.
Oh boy, someone's reading his notes.
You know, my God, he invented cocktail sauce,
my American God, exactly. With a Mountain Dew Heinz, 2 liter right next to the oyster.
Jesus, Heinz Christ, he invented.
Let us pray over those oysters. That's not all they had on the menu, though.
No, my God.
What else did you see that piqued your fancy?
Jesus Christ. Well, I actually additionally ordered steamed clams in a
steamed ham, you say?
The steamed, yes, the Bill Oakley special, the steamed ham from Simpsons episode. that's my order at Stockpot, our favorite bar of the podcast. And so I had to compare. And they're great here. They're great. But other things, they had a Louis salad. They fish and chip with smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon fried.
God, that looks fantastic.
Didn't that look good?
If we were there another 3 hours, I'd absolutely
we'll
got
be
that.
Back.
They had a burger. That's right.
We haven't heard you.
Next time, the burger at Dan and Louis.
Is it an oyster burger?
It is. It is one big oyster. One big, just big giant scallop. Yeah,
it would be wonderful.
Ooh, that's rich. they had a burger.
We're gonna get you back.
But they had the thing that you had also.
Oh, the oyster stew has been served there.
100-year-old oyster stew.
That's what he served, those ketchup oyster shooters.
Wouldn't that be great if it came out of Heinz?
I don't know if it was catsup or ketchup at the time, but he served that and the milky oyster stew. And I said, boy, my sweet wife, when she listens to this, hates oysters and hates milk-based things. And this would be her idea of hell, but it was delicious. The oyster
double
stew.
Double negative, maybe. Man,
the oyster stew, fantastic. Yeah. And if that's what they were serving in 1907, and it's still so fucking good in the spring of 2024. Year of our Lord, 2024.
You got it.
Fantastic. What great food. I mean, seriously, man, I'm kind of ashamed that we could have stayed there and just ate.
Absolutely.
But this is not
right now. We were
coming up on food podcast.
5 o'clock. It's not a food podcast. It absolutely could be after this episode.
I would
convince you to try to move it. But after every food review, we always move to the bathroom du jour. And tonight's bathroom, Alfredo, let's kick it to you, pal.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, I don't do bathroom reviews, even though some of you might have fallen in love with my April Fool's.
We'll set up a poll. Whose bathroom picks do you enjoy more?
No. Oh, my God.
Team Nate, Team Alfredo, no.
That's what I was so worried about. I was so worried that people would come to the podcast. Oh, they're gonna. This is the best thing you've ever done. This new bar. Oh my God, you love these new bars.
These intros.
I want to know what the new bars are around town. Anyway, please, pal.
Take me to the bathroom.
Take me to the bathroom.
I'm disillusioned about bathrooms. I don't notice new things. That's me. Uh-huh. Well, I went to this bathroom and it was great. It was just from the bar, you have to follow like three right turn arrows, which is kind of fun. Uh-huh. It's just a fun little labyrinth through the museum of the restaurant with all the art, all the great memorabilia, the authentic memorabilia from the 100 fucking years of the, and you end up in a bathroom and it's a little narrow door. And then you go in, there's a funny old door to the stall and a fly fishing rod. It's nautical fun. It's wooden inside. Three and a half pucks. I don't know if I'd pick it out of a, there might be a Long John Silver's bar that's similar bar restroom. Do they have bars in Long John Silver's?
No, it's just the parking lot, man. You just gotta go.
That's where I remember it.
You gotta
it.
Go in your parking lot.
Yeah, I remember.
Skipper's is what you're thinking of.
Oh, the Skipper's bar. God damn, that's a salty ass bar.
There's a callback too. Yeah,
A great little restroom, perfect for the place. Odd that there was still like graffiti tag on it. I was like, who goes all the way in here? After enjoying a dozen oysters and tags, Los Angeles over the door.
Must tag.
I don't know. How about, did you, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, no, I found it charming. I found it reminiscent of Renner's, actually, and the sort of narrowness and tightness of it.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into the musings here of how big this fucking place is. And I thought about the maybe 50 people who need to go to the bathroom and have one urinal to go to? I thought about that. When I was going to the bathroom, some gentleman came out of it and said, "You're going to love the Elvis reference."
Did he know? Here. Were you wearing your uniform? Yes, official inspector, yes, instrumentally, your hard hat?
Yes. He said, "You're going to love the Elvis reference in here." When I was coming back from the bathroom, I turned left when I should have turned right. And I like turned into this giant nautical banquet hall all of a sudden with its own separate unmanned bar.
Yeah, the other bar.
Yes, yes. And I
and the little drum. Did you hop on the drum set and bang it all?
I did my In the Air Tonight.
I thought I heard that.
Exactly. So when we were first scouting this place out, they have a little like, I don't know, like Zillow, like real estate virtual tour of the bar. I don't, on their website. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
I saw it. Yes, I did not take it.
And it was all, from what I clicked through, two rooms. It was the Oyster Shucker and the six person bar. Going to the bathroom and coming back, yeah. I found maybe 700% more real estate and tons of nautical theme. I was shocked at this place. As shocked at the depth and breadth. It's like if Stockbot, this is only for you and me, this reference. Yeah. It's like if Stockbot like ultimately like fell into the big banquet room, you know? It was just anything I was expecting at all.
Like Odysseus into the labyrinth. The Minotaur could have been around any corner.
You could make any reference at all because it is it was shocking to me. Please, God, Tell me a little bit about your experience.
Wandering around.
Dan and Louie's Oyster Bar.
I'm wandering around. I go to this restroom with the three right turn arrows. Keep going. Almost there.
Six right turns. How the hell is this happening?
And there's staff and there's heads poking out. Oops, excuse me. Door.
No. Admirals only.
There was not very many customers in there, but the staff is very good with the door.
Yep.
I was back, trying to get a good wide angle shot of a hallway and door, and different heads.
I did feel in the way.
Heads pop out. And there's a lot of work happening.
Yes.
It is very much, they used to have the, I think that banquet room is kind of a homage to the original dining room, which was a ship. Like it's supposed to feel like a ship's interior.
Yeah.
And I think they've redone that several times. But that was one of their calling cards.
Like a mast in there even. I don't know how
back to the day it is, but that was one of the things they did in like pre Dan's death. They actually remembered this. They had the ship interior designed, dining room in like 37 and Dan, dies in 38, but
pre-Dan's death. Yeah.
But I thought it was still pretty accurate of like a claustrophobic, like you got to know where you're going. Yes. And like,
I felt like I was in the Navy. over here.
And I mean, this place in general is just, God damn it. I'm so, mea culpa on the, there is a few notable places that we have decided, me mostly being the Orthodox.
I love that I can hold this over you for the rest of my life.
And I said, for no reason but this alone, that I said, we're not going to Darcelle's. Mm-hmm. We're going to salute Darcelle's in an episode, which we did. Darcelle's, the bar, the official, the historic person, the legacy, the message is so profound. But as an actual place where you go not belly up at a bar,
you can't just go in there and drink.
Yeah, it ain't a bar. It's a club, like a comedy club.
It's a show that has
drinks. It's a show.
It's like saying, yeah, exactly. It's like
there's a bar where a bartender pours drinks for servers to bring you to a table.
Right.
That's not a bar. This place I thought was going to be the same. I thought there's a bar maybe where someone is pouring drinks just because it happens to be there. You're not going to go to this place has its own bar, its own bar top, its own bar stools. Mm-hmm. Six seats. You can go there comfortably at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and enjoy it. It's a bar within a restaurant.
And it has its own bar tenders also. And it has people that
talk about these people.
Full respect for it.
Yeah.
First bartender tonight was Ashley.
Yep.
Worked there 13 years.
What was the first, we had to ask her a very pertinent question right out of the gate. Well, I did at least just to make sure. I had to say,
That was is what? It Tana Lewis?
Is it Dan? Or is it Dan?
Is it Dan? Is it Dan, Dan or Dan?
Dan or Dan? No, I said, no. Is it Dan and Louie? Dan and Louise? Or Dan and Louis?
St. Louis, St. Louis, of course.
Yeah, St. Louis.
I had always heard Dan and Louis. So thank you for taking that question.
I assumed it was Dan and Louis.
Thank you very much.
But I didn't want to be on the podcast like we were in episode one about Paul Pintarich. It's Paul Pintarich, the muse of this podcast.
She didn't. I don't think you won any points with her at that point, but eventually you did.
Yeah.
Ashley had been here for 13 years on and off and knew a lot about the experiences of bartending with a outside patio in Portland.
Energetic.
Just absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
If you've learned nothing on this podcast, not just competent, but a bartender who just
exponential growth.
It's down to give you a little bit of energy and say
experience of being there, man. Oh my God.
I'm proud of working here. This isn't just a shitbag job I hate.
If she was a
I'm glad you're here too.
My local and my JB O'Brien's local. If she was a what'll it be and move on. This place would have been
harder.
I don't even know if we would have gone to the back room. I think we would have just had our things.
We would have been fine. But
maybe. Anyway, Ashley, fantastic.
Thank you for teeing up this great place. Yeah.
Daughter of Holly, who had been here for 25 years.
The first time we've ever had a
mother daughter serving team, bartending team. Holly was fantastic and sharing so many stories, including what the plaque meant over the door, including what the wheel was over the oyster
bar. That's right,
bar.
The brother Jonathan.
It was,
the wheel, just in case you go. Of course you will, because you've got to patronize every HBTG place. You wheel.
Oh boy.
You walk in and there's a wheel above the entrance, and that is the brother Jonathan, a steamer ship that shipwrecked in 1865 in the Northern California. They dug it out in like the fucking 90s or something. And here it is. The steamer wheel is right there above the entrance.
Also, hats off to Alex, who's shucking oysters in front of that steamer wheel every single day. He's been there 2 years. He said this is his favorite job ever.
Wow.
The people, you just ask the people around there, and they want to tell you how much they love the place.
And give us enough martinis, and we will eventually ask the people.
Yes, I will ask you. I will look you in the eye and ask you a question. Otherwise,
takes us a martini or two.
Otherwise, I'm pretty goddamn skittish and introverted. But give me something with all of it, and I will ask you a question.
I had to mention, I loved my favorite part, and I'm sorry, Ashley and Holly, for I loved that when Ashley was telling a story about some of the local colorful life in Old Town Portland. She was in the midst of the story, and Holly comes on and wants to retell it. And they kind of squabbled about telling this story, my mother, and blah, blah. And I said, God, it would just be like if my mother hosted this podcast with me.
But you never doubted that they were mother-daughter a second.
I was like, fantastic. And I know my mom hopefully is listening, and it would be the same. I would squabble and, you're misremembering it. You knew it was not just a stage act.
Fantastic. Speaking about mothers and daughters, I reached out to my parents, who I knew had gone to Dan and Louie's in their life. I've heard that name from them in the past.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like if I could pinpoint one drinking establishment that they were always invested in, it might be
this is Dan your and white Louis. Whale.
And so I kicked the door open for him. I said, please, I'm going to go to Dan and Louie's Oyster
Bar. Tell me a
little
known fact about your story.
A little known fact. Yes. Cliff and Norm, tell me a little bit known fact. And I said, anything you want to say about your years and years of drinking, maybe, possibly, at Dan and Louie's.
Uh-huh.
And I sent it to both my mother and my father.
Okay.
And my mother responded, and she said, quote, we have been there. It's been a long time, but it was good and has quite a history. Be careful in that part of town.
To this day, what better proof
all
that
you
they
need
are?
To know about me.
This was not a stunt email either. They were your actual parents.
Yes,
confirming. Yes, we have been there. We have lived.
We've lived there,
and also we're your parents.
I don't need to tell you anything more than head on a swivel, son.
And we were. We parked. We looked around. We looked left and right for traffic. I was careful on my phone, taking pictures, just making sure I'm not a rube down there.
Of course.
But no, this bar, man, I just want to close
please,
it with
please.
Our...
Please, we got to close this
we
somehow.
We got to.
We're coming up
we'll
on
gush,
the hour.
We'll gush,
so,
and we'll gush.
We'll gush.
But on the left side of the bar, there's this 19th century mine shaft looking thing. It's like a water cistern. They pumped up water and they put like a stunt skeleton down there, which is
history down
which
there.
Is great. Yes. But it's a real like 100-year-old thing with the infrastructure.
With 20 feet deep.
And they preserved it wonderfully, like plexiglass. It's great. It's a little like, you know, theme parky. But it gives every server and every staff member a chance to like riff on it and add local color. And the stunt skeleton. And I just said, you know what? Bury me in that shaft. This is my bar, man. I want to live here. That was my takeaway. For you, Nate.
Yeah. I couldn't get over how romantic I felt sitting in this place. I felt like this was the corner of old Portland that how could anybody say they knew anything about Portland without dumping into this place? And there was something about it that just awakened this ancient thing inside of me.
Yeah.
The food, the people, the
touchstone,
the decor, the history. It was wonderful. All right, Alfredo, it's just about closing time here in the HPTG studio. Oh, God, I got a huge thank you to everyone down at Dan and Louie's Oyster Bar. Let's name them. Ashley, Holly, Michelle, Alex. That woman who was hit on that we didn't catch her name.
Yeah. What patience
we're
and
very,
grace.
Very, very sorry, but this is
not by us.
Hey, hashtag me too. Visit all of them down at 500 Southeast 8th. Which is basically, is that 8th? No, that can't be right. 8th? What's 8th? Visit them at Ankeny.
208th.
What did I do here? Visit them at Ankeny. How about we just don't visit them? Until next time, we beg of you, follow us on Instagram at History by the Glass. Shoot us your favorite old bars you think we should visit. Subscribe and share via Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Cast, whatever the new one is, and not the old one. And anywhere else, fine podcasts are sold. Including ours? What's your line? I can't remember it.
That's right.
Hey, listen, on behalf of this guy, Alfredo Moreno, my name is Nathan B. Gale. Please tip your bartender. Damn it, this was a great bar. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was good.
I am so sorry, but I could have sat there for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days.
We'll keep it in mind.
It is.
God damn, it was good.
Stupid how good this was. It's fucking down.
I know. It was better than Jake's, don't you think?
It's better than Jake's, yes.
Just because it was kind of off, not a lot of people were like.
Correct.
And it's got the little alcove. It's not a bar in a restaurant. It's a bar.
Correct. And we've never seen it before. Also.
And we've never seen it before. We're uncolored. We're. Jake's is great, but I think it was better than Jake's.
I think it's better than Jake's, too.
It's not less than Jake. It's better than Ezra.